Well, good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered here. And we do welcome you in the Saviour's name. And we do pray that the Lord will be with us and that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house today. Those that are online as well, wherever you are, we do extend to you that warm welcome as well. We do pray that the Lord will speak to you and be with you and encourage you through his precious word. May we remind you of the services continuing this evening at 7 p.m. with the season of prayer from 6:30. We do encourage and invite each one to make that effort to be back once again tonight in the house of God under the sound of his word. We're coming again to the book of Acts. We're turning to that second part in relation to Paul, the preacher in the pulpit. And really tonight we're just focusing on one little phrase that Paul speaks as he's coming to the end of his time in Ephesus. He simply says, "If God wills." And we want to be looking at that phrase tonight about the will of God for each one of us. And we do therefore encourage you to make that effort to come back and to be under God's precious word. Do remember tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. the children's meeting will be back on here in the church. And we do pray that the Lord will bless that work amongst the children. And that the Lord, even in these days, will save those precious little ones and draw them unto himself. Then immediately afterwards at 8 p.m. Commences our special week of teaching meetings here in the church, Monday through to Friday, every night at 8 p.m. And the Reverend Thomas Martin, the minister of our Cumber congregation, is our special speaker for the entire week. And we're looking to the Lord even for that blessing to be upon those week of meetings. And we do encourage you and invite you, make as much effort as you can to be here as often as you can. If you're physically able to come, then do come. And if not, then certainly the services, whilst they are streamed online, are there for you. But don't take the easy option out. Rather come and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We're coming in the week, as we mentioned, we're studying together under the Reverend Martin, the book of Jeremiah. And he's coming to do as much of the book or to give us as much of a coverage of the book as he possibly can within those 5 evenings of meetings. And so we do pray that the Lord will bless in this week. We do pray that the Lord will draw near and the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Then the services next Sunday, commencing in the morning with the Sabbath school at 10:30, and then the services at the normal times, 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both of the services. Next Sunday morning, of course, is Remembrance Sunday, and we will be having our act of remembrance in the morning time. Next Sunday is also the Building Fund Sunday, and we do remind you of that as well. I'll be here, God willing, to minister at both of those services. Then just two other announcements. Firstly, from our presbytery on Friday evening, can we mention to you for your prayers that the Reverend Andre Patterson, having received a call to Market Hill, accepted that call on Friday evening. And in the will of the Lord, at the start of December, he'll be moving from the ministry in the Kingdom of Mourne, and then he'll be coming across to Market Hill. So do pray for him, and do pray for both of those congregations, for Market Hill as he comes to take up his ministry, and also for our church in Coquille as that now becomes vacant. And then can we mention to you as well, commencing today in our Cookstown congregation, they're having a 2-week gospel drive-in mission, and the Reverend Marcus Leckie is a minister at those special meetings. And do pray for that mission as it goes forward, that the Lord will bless night by night in the preaching of his word, and even in these days that precious souls will be won for Jesus Christ. So we're going to commence this morning our season of worship. We're turning to the hymn number 13, and you'll find it on the page 180. The hymn number 13, the page is 180. Hallelujah, sing to Jesus, his the scepter, his the throne. Hallelujah, his the triumph, his the victory alone. We'll sing this to the tune of 195, which is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And together we'll stand as we sing unto the Lord. Hymn 13, please. Let's stand.
Our the soul.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and seek the face of God this morning together. Each one that is saved, may we be praying and even rejoicing in our Saviour, rejoicing in who He is. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, Lord, even as we sing those words of that hymn together, what a beautiful lesson it is afresh to our hearts of who our Saviour is. We thank Thee that He is the great King. He is the one who has been beckoned to sit at Thy right hand, to sit upon the throne until each and every enemy is made His footstool. We thank Thee that He is the Saviour of His people. We thank Thee now that He is the great intercessor for His people. And we do rejoice, O God, that He's coming even to gather His people unto Himself. We do rejoice this day that salvation is completely of the Lord. We do rejoice that we're not saved by works, but rather we're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We thank and praise Thee this day, O God, for salvation. We thank Thee that each and every one of us who is saved has that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh God, we rejoice this day. Lord, just to be able to say, I am saved. I am redeemed. Not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but I am redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Lord, we thank Thee for the blood of Jesus. We thank Thee that it covers our sin. We thank Thee, O God, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And O God, even this morning as we've gathered to Thy house, we pray for that fresh cleansing in that precious blood. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt empty us afresh of self and of sin, that Thou wilt fill Thy people with Thy Spirit, that Thou wilt minister to our hearts even as we are gathering to worship Thee. O God, that Thou wilt give us that right mind and that right heart. Give us clean hands and pure hearts. Give us, O God, that Spirit within us, that as we worship Thee, that we worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, bless in this season that lies before us. Bless our coming together this day. We thank Thee for this house. We thank Thee, O God, for the work here in Six Mile Cross. We thank Thee for the work amongst the children, O God, already commenced and conducted this morning. We thank Thee for Thy servants who minister to them and for the children that gather to hear Thy word. Bless those little ones. Bless the older ones alike, Lord, each and every one of them. Oh, that every single one of those children, whether connected with the Sabbath school or connected with the children's meeting, that Thou wilt bring them into the family of God, and Thou wilt save their precious souls. And, O God, may they be shining lights even in their families. May they be shining lights in their school place. Lord, that they are the children of God, that they have that faith, that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember us, O God, this day. Remember this service that lies before us. Remember each one that is here. Lord, each one that is hearing Thy word today, we pray for them. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt minister to hearts, that Thou wilt encourage Thy people, that Thou wilt build them up in their most precious faith. O God, we pray for those that are listening online as well. Thou knowest every heart. Thou knowest, O God, each one that will hear Thy word. Lord, we pray for salvation to come. We pray, O God, for the Spirit to be descending even upon this community in these days, that souls will be saved, that backsliders will be restored, that families will be united in Christ, that the hardened sinners, the darkest of homes, will have that glorious light of the gospel shining in. Lord, remember in these days, we pray Thee. Remember, O God, as well, our week of meetings that is lying before us. We pray for Thy blessing. O God, we thank Thee even for Thy servant who will come to minister. We pray that as he will come night by night, that Thou wilt fill him with Thy Spirit, that Thou, O God, wilt stand with him, that Thou wilt speak to him, and that Thou wilt speak through him. And Lord, that Thou wilt bless even each and every one of us, Thy people, through the going forth of Thy word. Lord, remember in these days, O God, remember the sick of our congregation. We pray afresh for them. We spread them before Thee. Lord, that Thou wilt rule and overrule, even in their circumstances, that Thou wilt touch them. O God, that Thou wilt strengthen them, that Thou wilt comfort them. Remember those that mourn as well. Lord, we bring them afresh to Thee as well. And we bring our elderly. O God, those no longer able to join with us. Lord, the many needs in the families and the homes of this congregation. Lord, we ask Thee that Thou wilt bless. We ask Thee, O God, that Thou wilt comfort and strengthen. We pray, O God, that we will keep our eyes fixed upon Thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, remember every church this day. And remember this land. O God, have mercy upon this land. Lord, even in these days as we come to Remembrance Sunday and as this special time of year, and as a nation we remember the sacrifice of so many, oh, that men and women will look past even the sacrifice of man, and they will look to the sacrifice of the Son of God, the one who hung upon that middle tree, the one who suffered and who bled and who died for sin. Oh, Father, come, we pray Thee, and revive our hearts, and revive this land, and glorify Thy Son. Oh, hear and answer our prayers, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue our readings in the book of Psalms and the Psalm 119. The Psalm 119, as we continue through this psalm together. The verse 25 is where we pick up today, coming into the section of Daleth. And today we'll read Daleth, He, and Vaugh, down to the end of verse 48. So Psalm 119 and the verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth, and thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word again to all of our hearts. The hymn 232, we'll sing at this stage together, please. The hymn 232. The page is 270. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee. In vain he called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. 232. We'll stand together again, please, as we sing on to the Lord.
Sinner, the Saviour is calling.
Invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Numbers this morning. Book of Numbers in the chapter 16. Looking at the calendar, I have one more week of the peace of heaven. And of one message I believe the Lord would have us to preach to kind of bring that short series in hell and also in heaven to a conclusion. So there's two more weeks of that particular series, and with Remembrance Sunday being next week, I thought, well, there's no point doing one and then stopping and starting again, so we'll leave the two until after next Sunday morning. But I was in the study the other day, and as I often do in the study, I stick on sermons for my own spiritual benefit. And sometimes it's our own men, sometimes it's just someone maybe that catches my eye in sermon audio. And it was this particular text preached on. Now, I will be completely honest, I'm not preaching another man's sermon, because the text that he took and I'm taking this morning, he preached it to the believer. I'm preaching it to the unsaved today. And he took the text and then he added another text to it to give the contrast for the believer. But this particular text really stood out to me. And I thank the Lord even for that help in the preparation of it. Acts 16, verse 12. Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us out of the land, or out of a land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, "Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." Amen. It is that phrase at the end of the verse 12 we leave with you. We'll be looking at all of the verses, but the verse 12 is really the text. "We will not come up." I want to speak to you this morning about rejecting the gospel. Rejecting the gospel. Let's still our hearts before God, please, at this time. Father, we just simply come to thee with thy word open before us. And we do pray that thou wilt speak. We pray, O God, that thou wilt still every heart and still every mind. That thou wilt rather, O God, open hearts and open minds to receive thy word. We do pray especially for any that are coming under the sound of thy word even now, or maybe at a later time tuning in, O God, that are still outside of Christ. And up until this point in their lives, they have rejected the gospel. O Father, we pray for mercy to be upon them. We pray for the Spirit of God to drive home this message and to speak to each and to every one. Hear us and answer our prayer even now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Charles Hodge, the theologian, he said, "The rejection of the gospel is as clear proof of moral depravity as inability to see the sun at noon is proof of blindness." In the book of Numbers, in the chapter 16, in this particular section, we come to a time of great rebellion within the ranks of the Israelites. The great sin of pride is to the forefront once again within the people. That pride in itself and that pride in the belief that those individuals whom we're about to speak about, they believed themselves to be greater than who they actually were. And that sin of pride with self then that led to jealousy, which then led to rebellion. You go back to the opening verses of chapter 16, and we're introduced again to this man by the name of Korah. Chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Korah, the son of Izmar, And then along with his other men, the sons of Eliab, who are Dathan and Abiram, and also On, the son of Peleg, sons of Reuben, they took men, and they rose up before Moses. They come against Moses, and they come against Aaron, along with 250 princes in Israel. You'll see that in verse number 2. They rose up with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And Korah and these other three individuals, they gather to them a great number of the great influencers within the people. And they gather themselves against Moses and against Aaron. Now, of course, we know that Moses was the man chosen of God. And we understand and we accept that God had set his seal, God had set his ordination upon Moses. And in turn, God's word came to Moses, not only for Moses, but for the people. But these men, Korah and Dathan and Abiram and On, they will not accept that authority. They will not accept not only the leadership of Moses, but they will not accept the priesthood of Aaron. That authority, as I said, which was divinely decreed by God. Moses, he speaks to Korah and he commands Korah, return in the morning. Come back and stand before me. And when you come in the morning time, bring censers of fire. And God then will show whom is to stand before him. You bring your censers of fire. You bring your tools and your talents with you. And you stand before the Lord and you stand separate from me. And we will see whom the Lord has decreed to be used and even to be blessed in service. And then we come to verse 12. Within this particular verse and those following, which we read together this morning, whilst there is that literal understanding and appreciation of what is taking place there in the wilderness, nevertheless, I see a great gospel exhortation. And I see a great gospel application and a great gospel emphasis and teaching for those who reject the gospel. Moses, he comes and even at this particular time, he's reaching out, as it were. He's being gracious to Korah. He's being gracious to Abiram, to Dathan, to On. He is being gracious to these 250 individuals. God has given them opportunity. You know, within this, as I said, the great gospel application that there are a certain number of things I want to leave with you this morning. When you see, firstly, the plea in verse 12. The plea in verse 12. It begins with the words Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram. Moses sent to call them. He sends word to Dathan and Abiram to come up. They weren't there when he met with Korah. When Korah was at that particular juncture, whenever and Moses was laying it out to Korah, the verse 8, here I pray ye sons of Levi, Dathan and Abiram are not there. Whilst they are, as it were, the co-conspirators, whilst they are numbered with Korah, yet whenever it comes to the actual words being presented, Dathan and Abiram are not part of the assembled group. And so Moses sends word to them. Come to me. Come up to where I am. Even though Moses knows their starting point, in other words, Moses is not calling them up to try and figure out where they stand. Moses is not trying to bring them up to see, are you on my side, are you on the side of Korah? Moses already knows where Dathan and Abiram stand. He knows their feelings. He knows their thoughts toward him and towards Aaron. He knows their heart on the matter. But nevertheless, he extends to them an invitation, come up. He extends to them that invitation to come to him. It's an invitation, it's an exhortation, yea, it's a command to leave that place where you're currently residing, to come away from your own tent, to come away from your own dwelling place and to come physically unto me. Surely the spiritual parallel is there. Because each and every time that the gospel is preached, Each and every time that the gospel is heralded forth, there is that invitation, there is that plea to come. There is that plea to leave where you are, to come away from where you are, to leave behind that dwelling place of sin and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. To leave behind that residence of rebellion towards the gospel. Because here was Dathan and Abiram, and they're simply refusing to gather on to Moses. They're simply refusing to come under his leadership, to come under his authority, to come into his presence. That plea is given and has been given time and again. Arise, come to Christ. I think of the words of Isaiah 1 to verse 18. It begins with these words, come now. And I emphasize that word now, the imperative aspect, the immediate clause that is there given in that verse of invitation. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The gospel plea is given, come now. Don't put it off. Don't simply say another time, another day, another date. That's what Moses was pleading and even exhorting and commanding these men to do. Come now to him. Korah's already stood before me. The princes have already stood before me. You too have not been here. You need to come. That gospel plea is given to each one. Gospel invitation is given to you today in spite of where you are spiritually. In spite of your starting point before the Lord, in spite of the fact that you hate God, in spite of the fact that you're in enmity with God, in other words, you're his enemy. That's what Ephesians 2 teaches us. In spite of the fact that your life up until this point has been one of sin and depravity, you're a hater of God, as Romans 1 and 30 tells us. Each and every one that isn't saved, you hate God, you're in enmity with God, you're against God, you're completely in rebellion to God. And yet God invites you to come. God invites you to come now. The invitation is wide, it's open to all, the whosoever will, to draw themselves unto him to come. The grace of God is there for you. You know, I think of that time in the wilderness. This was outright rebellion against Moses and against Aaron once again. This was outright rebellion, therefore, against God. God could have sent a fire straight away upon them. We'll see the ending for these individuals come the next day, but immediately there and then, God could have sent fire, God could have opened the ground, God could have destroyed them, but yet the invitation, come. Moses was willing to speak. Moses was willing to commune with them. Moses wasn't willing that any should perish. If they simply came and respected and obeyed the word of God. There was grace shown in the wilderness. There was patience. There was long suffering shown in the wilderness. My friend, you're experiencing God's grace today. Each and every one of you this morning that is still outside of Christ are experiencing God's grace. He has given you another day. He has given you another opportunity. He has given you another invitation to come. To come now. To come now, because now is the accepted time. There was the plea given in the verse 12. But then sadly in the verse 12 as well, there is the proclamation. Because the answer comes back. We will not come up. We will not come up. You know that exhortation sent out, Dathan and Abiram, come up. Come and meet with me. These two individuals, in spite of the fact that it's their own leader that's speaking to them, in spite of the fact that Moses is the great leader of Israel, and he has the authority over all of the people, and yet they come, and that invitation, that exhortation, yea, the command is given, come up. In rebellion, just go, no, we're not coming. We're not coming, we're not obeying you. We're going to sit where we are. We're going to stay in our tent. Doesn't matter that you're the leader of these people. It doesn't matter that you are the authority upon earth. It doesn't matter that Aaron beside you is the high priest over all of the people. We're not coming. We're not going to obey you. We're not going to listen to you. They refuse to accept the invitation. They refuse to, as it were, bow the knee to the authority and the command of Moses. You know, the gospel presented to you, it presents you with an exhortation. Yeah, it presents you with a command. You're commanded to repent. All of us are commanded in our lives to repent. To repent and to believe the gospel. To repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That invitation is there, yes, to come unto him, but the command is also there to repent, to turn from your sin, to turn from your rebellion, to turn from your own selfish ideologies, and to turn from the ideologies of man and the ideologies of the world, and to turn to Christ. Yea, the compassion of Christ is there in the gospel too, because he invites you to come. All that are weary and heavy laden, he will give you rest. And yet how many today, from the depths of the rebellious heart, proclaim, we will not come up. My preacher, you can announce it as many times, and you can invite as many times as you want, and you can show us the gospels, and you can show us the invitations, and you can show us the scriptures to come. And you can tell us that Christ is standing with his arms wide open, and he's ready to receive you, and he wants to save you, and he can save you, but preacher, we're not coming. We're not going to obey that command from Christ to repent. We're not coming the way of the gospel. And you can say, now is accepted time. We're not coming in your time. We're not coming at the command of Christ. We will not come up. Oh yes, you want to go to heaven. Yes, you want certain aspects of Christianity. Because if you read all of the opening verses of number 16, Dathan and Abiram also wanted certain aspects of Christianity. Along with Korah, they wanted a greater involvement. They wanted a greater role within the administration. Their jealousy, their pride came from that aspect. They're saying, we don't want Moses and Aaron, as it were, to have it all. We want to do more. Maybe today you want certain aspects of the gospel. You want the reward without the repentance. You want to have that destination, that assurance of heaven, without ever accepting your need of salvation, without ever accepting that you're born in sin, without ever accepting that you are outside of Christ. You desire the certain aspects. Yet you will not accept or heed the simple instruction, come. Come. To come the way of the gospel. To come the way of the cross. So many today, as I say, they desire and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm associated with that church. My family's connected. My family are pillars in that church. I've got my ties. I've got my things I'll hold on to. I want Christianity in my terms. I want Christianity in my way. I want my own. But Christ says, no, 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 it's my way. For he is the way. It was an awful, disastrous mentality to have, and it's an awful proclamation to make. Whether you make it verbally in terms of you actually physically say, I will not come, or whether you simply proclaim it by your actions and by your heart. To refuse to bow the knee to Christ. To refuse to confess him as Lord. To refuse to repent of your sins and to turn from them. You know, that proclamation, that refusal to come to Christ, well, I have to respond simply with one question. Then how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? How can you be saved if you don't come to Christ? There was the plea, there was the proclamation, but verse 13, there is the presumption. The presumption. Dathan and Abiram not only say, we will not come up, but then listen to these next words. Verse 13, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? Now, it's hard to get our heads around this statement. Dathan and Abiram actually are saying and believing that Egypt flowed with milk and honey. Dathan and Abiram are actually saying and believing that what they had in Egypt was as good as it got. That what they had in Egypt was blessed. Because they turn to Moses and they say, Moses, you have brought us out of a land that floweth with milk and honey. Moses, you have brought us out of a land that is blessed, a land that was good. Egypt. The place of slavery. The place of taskmasters, the place of bondage. The place where they felt the whip. Place where they felt the bite of the persecution, the place where they felt the bite of Pharaoh even against them, that he hardened his heart against them, he strengthened his hand against them, he even took away the clay and the straw to make the bricks from them, he put that task upon them day after day. A place where there was no joy, no peace. That place where the cry of anguish went up from the Israelites onto the ears of God. And yet Dathan and Abiram here in the wilderness, they say to Moses, Moses, you've brought us from milk and honey. You've made us leave that place. You know, sadly, that's the mentality in hearts and minds of individuals today in this world. They believe what the world offers is as good as it gets. They believe that what the world can give them, that moment of joy, that moment of pleasure, that's as good as it gets. They believe that life is all about money. And life is all about gathering unto yourself treasures and the riches of this world. And gathering unto yourself as much of the worldly possessions. And having it all stored up and stocked up. And they believe when they look at their bank account in the years to come. And they'll say, oh, I had it all and it's all there. That's brilliant. This is land that flows with milk and honey. This is pleasure. It's only for a season. No understanding or appreciation of the great contrast that there is between the pleasures of this world and the riches of this world compared to the riches that are found in Christ. Rather believe in the greatest lie that the greatest liars ever told. That you're a God down here. It's all about what you have and what you are in this world. And that lie, as it goes on in the minds and the hearts of individuals, enjoy the pleasures. Get into the world. Give yourself to it. Enjoy it. My, the restrictions lifted. What was a date people couldn't wait for? Pubs to open. And the media circus ran out to every pub and they're gathering with all the people around their tables. Isn't it great? Are you having a great time? Oh, it's just wonderful. We can get out. We can have a drink together. We can meet together. Then the next great date, when's the clubs and the discos opening? And then they open, and my, everyone gathered together again. There was a media circus out again. Tell me, what's your experience like? It's the best time I've ever had. Were they saying that the next morning? Were they saying that the next day? Were they saying that by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? They're struggling to find their way home. And yet the devil will tell you this world's as good as it gets. Make the most of it. Oh, what a liar he is. You know what Proverbs 21:17 says? He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. You know what Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, my friend, the life of sin and of bondage, because that's what sin is. It's bondage. It's slavery. It's being ensnared to the devil. It's being gripped by the chains of darkness. It's not the best life. You won't find joy or blessing in money. You go and look up those that have won the lottery over the years, and they started off and they thought it was wonderful. You look at the testimonies of them today, they're miserable. Every single year, there's not a year has gone past that celebrities haven't made it all with all of the fame in the world. There's not a year goes past that celebrities do not commit suicide or do drug overdoses and end up in rehab. How much more even over these days, they speak about the mental awareness and the mental health. Many young sporting stars with the world at their feet have ended up mentally broken. And they give their all, they give their years of their best health and their best youth to training themselves and strengthening themselves and bringing themselves to a greater place that they could be and ascend up to win the greatest accolades in their sport. And yet, where are they? Broken. You remember the prodigal son? Left the father's house, went into the world, took all of his possessions, the inheritance that was his part, he took it with him, he went into the world, he lived it up. He spent around him in all of the friends, all of the fame, the popularity. He went from one club to the next, he went from one party to the next. He had everything he wanted. And then it ended. There's he sitting in a field. Not a penny to his name. Feeding pigs. And wishing he could just move the pig over and get into the feeding trough himself. You remember Lot? Genesis 13, it comes to that point whenever Lot and Abraham separate one from the other. Abraham says to him, Lot, you look around, you pick which way you want to go, and whatever way you go, I'll go the opposite way. Lot lifted his eyes. Tells us, Genesis 13:10, he lifted his eyes, he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Verse 11, and Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Verse 12, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He lifted his eyes onto the world and he saw, there's the place that I want to go. Look at all that blessing. Look at all of that wonderful water ground. Look at that. And what does he do? He heads straight for the world. Look how that ended up. A family completely destroyed and wrecked by sin. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. His two daughters in line with their own father. Why? Because the lies in the heart, surely the best is this world. No, my friend, the world's not the best there is. Christ is the best there is. He's encouraged and commanded, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. Must move on very quickly. Fourthly, I want you to see the prayer. The prayer. Verse 15, it tells us Moses was very wroth, and he said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. Respect not thou their offering. You know, some people might look at these words of Moses and his petition, and they think, oh, this is a bitter man. This is a man speaking in spite. He's hurt. His authority's hurt. And so he's just speaking in the rage, as it were, from his own heart. And he's just praying against these individuals because they've hurt his feelings and they've damaged his reputation. That couldn't be further from the truth. Because you see, Moses in these words, what he actually has is a very clear understanding of who God is. A very clear understanding of who God is. He understood, you see, the holiness of God. He understood the perfection of God. He understood the sacrifice for sin. He understood that the sacrifice for sin would be the Son of God himself. And he understood the greatness of sin. And he understood the great cost that there would be to remove sin. And if these men were not going to bow the knee, and these men were not going to come before the Lord with those hearts of repentance even unto him, the fact that these men's hearts are still in the world, then Moses prays these words. What Moses is saying within his prayer is this: Lord, you can't accept them. You can't accept their offering. You can't accept how they plan to approach thee and how they plan to appease thee. Lord, based on thy holiness, you cannot accept anything less than a repentant heart and a blood sacrifice. Because, Lord, if you do, you're going against yourself. Isn't that the case, as we heard the other Sunday evening in the harvest night service about Cain? Cain didn't come with the blood atonement. He didn't come the blood sprinkled way. In Genesis 4 verse 5, it tells us that God unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. See, my friend, if you try to approach the Lord any other way and you try to get into heaven any other way, God cannot and God will not accept you. If you come pleading your own merits, or you come bringing the fruits of your own hands and you say, Lord, I've got my works to present to you, God cannot, based on his holiness, cannot accept you. and will not accept you. And Moses is so clear in his mind, for the sake of the glory of God, for the sake of the holiness of God, these two individuals cannot be accepted. You think Moses found happiness in praying such prayers? Doesn't give a believer joy to know that unsaved are cast into hell. Well, it certainly shouldn't. Regardless of who they are. But the reality is, God has decreed there is only one way to have peace with God. There's only one way to be accepted by God, and it is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if men and women, boys and girls, if they reject the Son of God, then they cannot be saved. You know, sometimes believers, even in desperation, can get carried away. Great concern upon their hearts for their loved ones. Sadly, for some Christians, it creeps into their mind, oh, what about a works-based salvation? You know, they've been good. My loved ones are good people. And that yearning in the heart for the loved one to be saved, it can almost bring him to the point where they're saying, oh, can they not just be accepted? They're not bad. Can they not just be saved? My friend, remember this. Salvation is all of grace. It's only through the death and the resurrection of Christ that anyone can be saved. There is no other way. There has never been another way. There never will be. And that's the reality today, my friend. If you're seeking to try and get in based on your own merit, you cannot be saved if you do not come through Christ. The one final thing I leave with you this morning, the verse 32 and 33, the penalty to these two individuals. Penalty. Verse 32. It tells us that the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them and they perished from among the congregation. You know, when you go back actually to verse 25, it highlights grace again. Because verse 25, though these two men refused to come up, it tells us, verse 25, that Moses arose up and he went on to Dathan and Abiram. Their first refusal, Moses didn't just cast them. Moses actually went to them and they still wouldn't repent. And then there's further grace, because then Moses and God gave them another day. Give them the rest of that day. Give them that night. And the next morning then they stood with Korah and they stood with Aaron. And they stood with those men that were off their families. And they stood separated from everyone else. And then God's penalty came down. Because there, separation took place. He fell down into the pit, into hell. My friend, remember this, there is coming a day when God separates. It speaks about in the New Testament of God separating the wheat from the tares, separating the goat from the sheep. Coming a day when the sinners and the saved by grace are separated one from the other, and one goes into the pit, cast in forever. Oh, how quick God's judgment can be. How swift, how sudden, how final. See, when God's final invitation is given, and if it's rejected, God's punishment can be swift. Wipe them off the earth in an instant. That ground literally just opened below their feet. There's nothing for them to cling to, nothing for them to try and pull themselves back up out. It was gone below them and they were gone. And it just came back over the top of them again. Why? Because they said, we will not come up. We will not come. No possibility of a reprieve or return. See, the wages of sin is death. Thank God today, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the invitation I finish this morning by giving. Come. Yea, come now. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. My friend, this morning, if you're hearing this gospel invitation once again, don't reject it. Don't refuse it. Don't rebel against it. Simply come. Come to Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Our Father, we thank thee this day for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. We acknowledge that thou art a patient and a long-suffering God. We thank thee, O God, that the gospel message, even from this pulpit over many years, has gone forth and the invitation has been extended. Father, even as it has been extended again this morning, we pray that it will not simply be rebutted or refused. Oh God, that men and women, boys and girls will not reject, but rather that they will come. Come unto Christ. Bless us now as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this night, I pray. Bring others with us. Oh God, give us blessed seasons in thy house. In Jesus' name. Amen.